Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
Former Blue Jay.
Inside, another turnover thrown right into the hands of Dane Watts. Tolliver leading the field with a one-handed stuff.
There's Tolliver's three.
Yes.
Oh, Anthony Tolliver with a hand in his face.
A-Train, Anthony Tolliver.
If you do that for the entire game and you try and make everybody else shoot as much as possible, if Draymond Green shoots 15-plus shots, you're in good shape.
Anthony Tolliver's my guest.
I can guard quick people. Just whenever you have deceptive handles, that's whenever you start making people fall and stuff. I don't like that.
Anthony Tolliver's my guest.
One person goes down and shoots it two or three times in a row. What happens is a domino effect is everybody else feels like they have to shoot it every time they touch it.
Let's dive into the NBA playoffs with Anthony Tolliver on Game Time.
I keep it real all the time, brother.
Oh, I look forward to this conversation every week. My former roommate, he used to cook eggs and stuff in his underwear and all that. I used to watch him do that stuff. It was all good, AT. I still.
Oh,
those were the days, weren't they? They were the days, man.
The frozen sausage patties and eggs.
You would kill it. Hey, I was thinking about this the other day. Remember, how annoyed would you get with, remember Coach Altman's day off math, where he'd be like, fellas, we just finished like a 3-hour practice. He'd be like, fellas, we have the rest of today off. We got tomorrow off. And then we don't practice till 3 on Thursday, fellas. You got 3 days off. It's like, Coach, we have 1 day off. All right.
Yes. The mess up math on there, and he'd give us $20 to split between three people. How is that possible?
Yeah, not possible, Coach. You got any quarters, man, to make this fair? I mean, just drive me nuts. But the day off, I so badly want to be like, Coach, we have 1 day off. Stop the nonsense. Do not tell us we got 3 days off here. It's ridiculous. Okay, I don't even know where to take it. I want to start with last night with the draft lottery. Do you have I think everybody was hoping for the Knicks for the betterment of, like, the interest of the NBA. But the Pelicans win the lottery, so they probably win the Zion sweepstakes. I guess, as you watched last night unfold, do you have a big takeaway with what occurred?
Honestly, I thought it was hilarious that the ticket office for the New Orleans Pelicans went nuts whenever they won. Like, I thought that was probably the best thing of the night. It was just like, they're like, our jobs! Our security, we're going to be able to sell a couple tickets. But that was great. But honestly, the biggest thing I took away from yesterday was the rule change. The way that they've changed the rules of how the lottery works. It's not gonna benefit you super heavily if you tank.
Yep.
And I think that's a great thing for the NBA. Ultimately, to get as many teams thinking about winning instead of losing to try to get the number one spot. So,
right.
I think that's the biggest takeaway I took.
Anthony Tolliver's my guest. I'm just going to throw this stat out to you, and you can kind of just react to it. Okay. The Golden State Warriors are now 31-4 when Kevin Durant doesn't play and Steph Curry does play. Your reaction to that stat?
My reaction to that is exactly what we've talked about in the past. Is like, not to say that they're a better team, they're not more talented without Kevin Durant, but they play better as a team without Kevin Durant, which is a big, big difference. I'm not saying they're more talented, that you don't want Kevin Durant or any of that stuff, but whenever they're at their best to me is whenever it's the Clay and Steph show and the ball is moving, bodies are moving constantly. And it's like they're almost impossible to guard whenever they're playing like that. Whenever they're playing one-on-one in a Kevin Durant show, it's, hey, if he's on, then, hey, it's a tough night for the defense. But it doesn't make anybody else work, you know. So they kind of reverted back to their old selves right now to make sure that they still can get the job done.
Yes, sir. If memory serves me correctly, were you with Detroit in 2016 when – were you one of the nine teams that beat them when they went 73-9, Golden State?
Yeah, I've been on a team that's beaten Golden State for the last, like, I want to say 7 or 8 years straight.
Yeah. So that's right. Yeah, you're the perfect guy to talk to about like how to stop these guys, because we've had this conversation. But I think you're like, lay out your what's worked and what hasn't worked when you guys have had success against Golden State.
Well, just, you know, similar to what the intro says, if you can get Draymond Green to shoot 15-plus times, you're in good shape. But the thing is, he's gotten smarter and he's gotten better, and he realizes that people want him to shoot it 15-plus times. So what he does is he just passes up the shot and waits for somebody else to pop open. You know, I think the reason why, you know, teams that I've played with have always had success is because, you know, our game plan was always whoever's guarding Andre Iguodala, who's ever guarding, you know, Draymond Green, who's ever guarding, you know, Sean Livingston, you are basically the all-time help person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't give Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala dunks or layups, right? Like, mm-hmm. No. But as far as if they're on the perimeter and they make a pass and it's to one of the three monsters, you jump all the way to the ball. So it's pretty much you jump and you double team in a way. So, like, I've gotten really good at that,
yeah.
You know, and like, I know when and how to do it and how to recover back to, like, a Draymond because, hey, you know, like, I know that he's going to come right back to me. Too many people just run at him and he goes right by him, you know?
Right.
So, and then you see, you know, you have a little luck, too. it really does come down to that. Like, that combination of things is you got to hope that they're not making shots.
What the heck was Portland's plan with the ball screen? Were they miscommunicating or like Cantor sitting in the lane? Like, you just going to give Steph like 10 walk-in threes off a ball screen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they took a shot at it. You know, Steph had just come off of a series where he shot 24%.
Right.
You know, maybe they were like, you know what? You know, maybe we'll you know, take our chances with our guards getting over the screens and forcing him into long twos. And I just don't believe in that, you know,
either.
Especially with him. Like, you know, it's just, you can't do that nowadays. Like, especially because if they set the screen at the 3-point line, it's much different.
But yes.
They're setting him 5 feet behind the 3-point line. So now you're getting over the screen, but shoot, he's just literally taking one dribble past the screen and shooting a wide open practice shot.
Yeah. That's like, a layup for him, thinking? Anthony. Like, that's a layup for him.
You think he's not going to make 9 out of 12 or whatever it was that he made last night? Like, come on, bro. That's crazy.
Hey, I want to shift over to the East real quick. I want to go back to the shot Kawhi hit. I mean, AT, you and I could go in the gym and we could try to replicate how that shot went in 1,000 times. We wouldn't be able to do it. Like, I've never seen a roll quite like that. That was crazy. But there's some people when they saw that, they're like, that's the type of shot that keeps Kawhi in Toronto. Do we on the outside overestimate like narratives like that, like where is that totally overrated?
Yeah, we are like us as sports fans and everything else. We are so much prisoners of the moment, and whenever things like that happen, you know, people think, oh, that's going to change his mind. He's going to stay in Toronto now. They're going to, you know, he's going to want to stay. Not to say that he won't. But then it has nothing to do with that shot.
Right, right.
With this series, like, it's just he might already have his mindset up that he's going to go to L.A.
Yeah.
You just don't know, right? Like, but that type of stuff does not change. If they win a championship, it might change.
Yes.
But even then, it might even be more of a reason for him to be like, you know what, it was great. I came here and won a championship, but I want to be in L.A., so I'm going to go where I want to go now.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, so I think people are just prisoners of the moment. And they kind of, you know, think of things like that a little bit too much.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Play into them a little bit too much.
What? Okay, so Anthony Tolliver's my guest. Bucks, Raptors. You know, we talked. It's weird. Giannis is the MVP and the guy's a beast, but like, I don't know, man. Kawhi. Could I make a case that Kawhi's the best player in the series? Like, how do you size up that series?
Yeah, you know, when we talked about Raptors, Philly, right?
Yep,
and I was like, usually the best player in the series finds a way to win the series, you know?
And that came true.
So close that, you know, and that was actually, remember, I was like, I don't even know who to pick because I'm like, they're so close. I'm like, it literally came down to the last shot of the last game, you know,
right.
and it was made by the best player. So I'm like, that is like literally exactly how I envisioned it going, right? Like crazy. But as far as this series go, I would say Kawhi's playing better than Giannis right now. But, Giannis is obviously most likely going to be the MVP, and he's been the, if not the best player in the world the whole year. He's been, close to that, right? So the thing is, this is why I think Milwaukee's going to win. I think those guys kind of cancel each other out. But Milwaukee ultimately, I think, will win because the way that Giannis plays is virtually unstoppable. And Kawhi, he shoots a lot of jump shots. Who's to say he doesn't get cold for a game or two? He's been hot.
Yes, he has.
Pretty much all playoffs. I think he's had one or two bad games or whatever where he didn't shoot very well. But it's like, bro, like Giannis shoots layups and dunks. Like he's going to shoot most likely 60% almost any given night, maybe more, right?
Yep.
So it, and then, it really comes down to the role players for both teams. And, if the Kyle Lowry's of the world or if the, Eric Bledsoe's of the world, if whoever kind of steps up on that secondary third role on each team, that's the team that's going to win. I think those two are going to kind of cancel each other out.
Hey, I should ask these two questions when we first started the conversation, right as the playoffs are getting started. You've played in the playoffs. Like, why are they? We've been talking, playoff basketball is way different. Where is it different? Why is it different?
Obviously, in a regular game, every possession counts.
Yep.
In the playoffs, I feel like every possession is like two possessions.
Yeah.
That's how important they are. So every turnover is just like, you're playing against a team, obviously, that's there for a reason, right? You're not, there's not much margin for error compared to a regular season game. I feel like regular season games, like, you see 20-point comebacks all the time in regular season. In the playoffs, it's pretty rare. Like, it happens, but not very much,
right?
Like, and plus, you don't really, it happens sometimes, but you don't see a ton of blowouts in the playoffs, right? Like, normally.
Mm-hmm.
Because you literally get a chance to hone in on one team for up to seven games straight. So by the time you're done with that series, you know every player, every tendency, every play that they call, And so that's why it's so much harder, is because, you play the Lakers on Tuesday night and you could play the Memphis Grizzlies on the Wednesday night.
Right.
You didn't have time to find out what the Grizzlies are running. You just go out there and you run your system, your defensive system, and you run your offensive system, and you just kind of hope for the best. Whereas in the playoffs, you are preparing specifically for these specific players and these specific schemes, and it's just a lot easier to really kind of stop somebody in those situations.
That's a great point. Anthony Tolliver, I don't know if I asked you this a couple weeks ago, but the interesting thing, and now that we've been talking for years during this time where you're talking NBA playoffs and all that, like, you always talk about that feeling you get when you play a team. Like, you felt it last year against Houston, even though they could have easily gotten past the Warriors. Like, did you feel that way against Milwaukee at all this year? Like, did you get a feeling like, damn, these guys are good?
Milwaukee is that's the reason why I made the unpopular pick, even though they had the best record in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's crazy that there's an unpopular pick to win the championship. And I'm like, but like, they were different. Like, I played against Golden State. I played against everybody that's in the Final Four or whatever. Portland, honestly, out of the four teams, might have been the team that I was like, oh, these guys are definitely beatable. Like, I think we might have beat them three out of four times. This is so unexpected for me as a player because they just did not stand out to me. But the NBA is a lot about matchups, right? So, I think that we ultimately had a couple players that they really could match up with, and we had a decent matchup with their guys. So, it was Milwaukee. Milwaukee was that team this year where they beat us in the preseason by 40 points once.
Oh.
The next time it was by 35, I believe.
Oh.
Then we played them at the beginning of the regular season. I think they beat us by 25.
Jeez.
So it was like, like the combination of that's 100 points, you know?
Right, right.
In three games. And the fourth time we played them, so we played them twice in preseason, twice in regular season. I don't think we beat them. I don't think we beat them once. I think the closest was the last game, and they only beat us by maybe 15.
Jeez.
Right? But it was just like, it wasn't even close. It wasn't like, it was like embarrassing.
Right.
You know, and so that's why at the end of the season, I'm like, dude, like, there was no team this year that made me feel like freaking Milwaukee did. Like, just they have an unguardable player, and then he's surrounded by a bunch of shooters. So what the freak are you supposed to do?
You're in a tough spot, man. You are in a brutal spot. You are in a total brutal spot. Anthony Tolliver. Okay. Saveprogram.org. What do we got with the camp, my man? What's up?
Yeah. So you know, we have a couple more spots for the sponsorships.
Yep.
So we do have a couple more pairs of Steph Curry shoes that we're going to be giving away. So definitely want to get people signed up. But also the next person to sign up in Omaha, you know, we're going to give away two tickets to tomorrow night's Save Program graduation event dinner. So it's those are expensive tickets too. So
yeah.
So you know, somebody that's listening right now, you have a free night tomorrow night. Maybe take your wife or take your husband to the graduation event and sponsor a kid all at the same time. So just go to saveprogram.org and be able to go down that path and get all that stuff done. But yeah, man, it's been great. It's been quite a few people, you know, that have sponsored kids.
Awesome.
And, you know, I think this year is going to be another year where, you know, 70%+ of our kids are going to be actually sponsored, which is awesome.
Saveprogram.org. The camp is June 24th through the 26th at Scutt High School. Again, that's saveprogram.org. A.T.A. Train, my man. We'll catch up next week, all right?
Sounds good, bro. Appreciate you.
You got it. Anthony Tolliver, every Wednesday during this time of year. That was good, wasn't it?
That was so good.
That was good. I mean, Anthony's, you know, one of the guys that has beaten Golden State a handful of times, you know? And how he lays out his plan, I think, is the best way to do it. It's the best way to do it.
I hope Terry Stotts was listening.
Terry Stotts.
Like, come on,
Terry
man.
Stotts, tune in, all right?
Come on, man.
Come on. Come on. All right, 402-951-1620. Make sure you go check out the website, 1620thezone.com, or the mobile app. Good stuff there. Mailbag. Scott Shanley, and of course Anthony Tolliver tomorrow on the show. Kevin Cougar, Danny Woodhead, Brian Munson, all coming up. It's going to be fantastic, all right? Not going to miss that. And what you're not going to miss is a little crossover action. Get you set for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with John and Josh next year.